You are listening to South by Southwest Sessions.
Hi, I'm Scott Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter. Very happy to be here with South by Southwest Online. And two of my favorite guys in this business, the best guys in late night, Desus and Mero. Thank you guys for making the time. And yeah, hey. Gotta give, you know, virtual.
Gotta do the BX.
You know, all day. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. So, guys, I want to just, you know, begin by saying I previously got to speak with you, I think it was June 2019. A lot has happened since then, and particularly where we are right now. You guys are three seasons in at Showtime. Recently racked up Critics' Choice, WGA, and NAACP nominations. And I mean, look, the pandemic sucks, of course, but if it's not been awful for anybody, you guys have come out of this pretty good. I mean, let's talk about the year that you've had as we come up on the 1 year anniversary of life, you know, starting to otherwise suck. So when the pandemic hit, how did it affect your guys' day-to-day life? You tape out of New York. It must have been rough at the beginning.
I mean, at the beginning, it was when it first hit, you remember, like, we didn't, like, people were just like, oh, there's like a cough going around overseas and it's going to come to us. And at first we were just like, how bad could it possibly get? Whoa, were we wrong? So, like, we had to shut down everything. We had to learn how to become computer geniuses, set up computer equipment and studio equipment inside our homes. We had to learn how to, we learned different ways of COVID testing. We went from the nasal swabs to spitting in the cups. We know how to upload and encode audio files and send them using WeSendIt to the editors. Like, it really did a full 180 on life. But I think, like you said, you know, if you look at our show, it's just gotten better through the pandemic. And we don't say that to brag. It's gotten people through the pandemic, and we're glad that it got better.
Totally. Yeah, and Mero, how about you?
Yeah, that was same thing. Like, just becoming like Mr. Radio Shack. You know what I'm saying? Like, putting together C-stands. Like, things that I'd never... Yeah. Like, I always say this. Like, I'll say it again. Like, I'm a broken record. I have found an incredibly newfound appreciation for the production staff on the show. Because
absolutely. Yes.
There's some technical stuff, man, that I'm just like, what? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to be, like, guided via Zoom... To troubleshoot something via Zoom is very difficult. You know what I'm saying? So,
totally.
You know, shout out to Dave Andruski, like, you know, the whole squad over there, because, man.
And then to pick up on that, like, if you look at the first couple of episodes that we shot during COVID, like, we didn't know what we were doing. The cameras are, like, they're basically blurry. This looks like there's Vaseline on the lenses. The backgrounds are a mess. The lights are off. The sound is terrible. But we became like a family.
I thought the Vaseline was... I thought the Vaseline, you didn't want anyone to pick up any wrinkles. That's what that was.
No. Listen, at that point, we were using our old Androids as cameras. It was really bad. Like, you could barely see. People were just like, which one's Mero? Which one's Jesus? But we all worked as a team, and we got the new cameras and the crystal clear sound. We got the boom mics, and it was just great working with the production staff, because it became more intimate, because usually we just get on stage and we would see them in the control room or see Andy, our engineer guy, in, you know, his little office. But now he's on the Zoom. He's talking to us. We're talking about the Rangers games while we're fixing the mics and checking the treble levels. Like, it feels more like a family-based organization now to make the show.
Yeah. It's weird. Well, it's become more intimate as we have, like, we're not in the same building, but it's become more intimate. Just because of what Jesus is saying, like, in those tech setups, you know, we're not just like sitting there doing technical stuff. Like, we're talking, yo, did you see the Knicks last night? Yo, Jesus will be like, yo, did you see this thing? Like, this new show that came out or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like a conversation with everybody that typically, like, on a show day in studio wouldn't happen, because it's just like, all right, 5 minutes, we're walking. We're live. We're this, we're that. You know what I mean? So it's like it's much more... like structured, and is that in that little 5 minutes of like playtime in the beginning is dope.
Well, you guys, you know, obviously have been providing escapism for a lot of other people, but at the same time, in case anyone forgot, you're human beings too. And I wonder, just emotionally, you know, I think Mero's got a bunch of kids. Jesus, I don't know. Maybe you're now expanding your family. I haven't been checking in on that with you, but I mean,
it's a pandemic. It hasn't been that wild a pandemic. Like, let's just go outside. we don't got little Jesus running around here.
But I mean, like,
I got no Zoom kids.
You haven't adopted yet, but so I mean, it's hard enough to just be, you know, anyone, let alone have a podcast and a show and all the things that you guys do. And then on top of the pandemic aspect of all this, in the summer, we have the George Floyd tragedy, all the Black Lives Matter protests. You guys are among the only late night hosts of color, unfortunately. You have the youngest and most diverse audience in late night. So I'm sure that must have also thrown you guys and your audience for a loop. So I just wonder if you can talk about having that thrown on top of the pandemic.
That was wild. It's funny. That was just on top of, like you said, just on top of everything. And now it's just like racism didn't take a break because of a pandemic. Racism was like, no, we're going to keep going. And you had to take to the streets. And now it's just like, do you risk protesting? Because you're putting yourself in a group of people you could possibly expose yourself. You're wearing a mask. At that time, we weren't 1,000% sure if the masks even work. And then the cops were beating up protesters. So then it was just like a cycle completing. And it wasn't even as if you could avoid it, because it wasn't just one city. It was all over the nation. And I just remember around here, because I'm still in the Bronx, I was coming from the store and I saw cops in armor on bikes. And I tweeted, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but the cops have armor on their bikes. Be careful tonight. And then they had a protest where they beat up all these protesters on 138th Street. And I was like, if I had stayed outside for 10 more minutes, I would have been beat up with those protesters. So it's just like little things like that remind you, yeah, we got a TV show, but at the end of the day, we're brown people. And like, this directly affects us. And, you know, people are like, oh, are you going to discuss this on our show? And it's like, we've been discussing this since day one, minute one of our show. So, this is reality.
Yeah. Like to Jesus' point, man, like on like almost every format, podcast, show, whatever, like, you know, we're Bronx kids. You know what I'm saying? We grew up outside. So stop and frisk, all this, like, you know, police brutality, all that type of stuff is like firsthand. It's not secondhand experience to us. Like, we experienced it firsthand. So, like you said, like, we've been talking about this forever. So it's like, it's not like we got to pivot to this. You know what I mean? It's like, it flows naturally because of like lived experience. There's no substitute for lived experience. You know what I mean? So
of course. And just emotionally, is it at a certain point? I mean, I know there are days I didn't want to do any work or just wanted to stay in bed and watch TV or whatever. Did you find that just this, everything, the pandemic, that stuff, everything just at a certain point, you know, beat you down? Because I mean, I don't know how you guys keep up the pace in normal times when it's two episodes of the show, it's the podcast. I forget how often you're pumping out new ones of that. Now involved with
every week, baby.
Every week, Pepsi now and shoes and Timberland and like, I don't know. I mean, it's got a certain point. Ice cream, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's fun. It's still fun to do. It's the production team is amazing to work with. It does not feel like a job. Like lately, we've been going back to the studio with, you know, proper COVID precautions, safeguards, proper testing zones and everything. And it's just with so little to do and everything is boarded up. And, you know, they're just reopening outdoor dining in New York City. The chance to be around people, be around your friends, because that's our production people are our friends. And it's just like, you make the show with them, for them. And then, like, I enjoy watching our show every Sunday night and every Thursday night. I watch our show and I laugh like I didn't watch it three times already in the watch down. And it's still funny to me, and I laugh at other jokes. And that's what keeps us going. Like, if it was not fun to do anymore, there's no way we could still crank out the show.
Yeah, no way. It really depends on that. Like, you know, even the whole, like, no audience thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we went into that not worried. Really, you know what I mean? Because we were just first two seasons was an experiment with the audience. You know what I mean? Prior to that, we didn't have an audience. We were each other's audience. So, like, you know, getting back into that, like, you know, into that zone was dope, because it's like, okay, now I'm just trying to make him laugh. You know what I'm saying? And he's trying to make me laugh.
Vice versa.
And that makes it, like, you know, that makes it fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a competition, but just like, you know, how can I crack Jesus? Because Jesus was a hard laugher. I laugh at everything. Jesus is a hard laugher, so if I get him like gut busted, I'm like, You know what I mean? That's like switch.
Mission
you
accomplished. I'm Jamaican.
We're very serious people. We, you know, while you're doing jokes, I'm trying to think of some newer jobs to apply to. I'm like,
Yeah, we're children of immigrants, bro. We do what we got to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, all right. So this brings us up to September 22nd, 2 days after the Emmys, at which you should have been nominated, and out comes your book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx, which suddenly becomes a bestseller. So when the hell did, we've been talking about all the stuff you've got on your plate. When did you even find time to do that?
We've been, listen, we've been writing. We are multitaskers, and we were writing while we're doing the podcast, while we're doing the show, everything. There's no days off, because all we know how to do is, it's like this, because like Meryl said, we're from the Bronx, and we've had very, very, very terrible jobs, and our worst day now is better than our best day back then. So it's we never wake up like who wakes up like you have to live a very privileged life to wake up like, oh man, I don't want to write this book. Random House, get off my back. Like, no.
Are you gonna play me to play real games? I don't want to do that.
You know, it's just I know, like, if you stay in the industry long enough, it's not you become jaded, but it happens so often. Of course, it's not going to feel new to you, but everything to us is like still new. Like, we got a package of Gatorade the other day, and I'm just like, is this free Gatorade? Yo! Never mind. We interviewed Obama. I'm like, yo, that's one level. I'm calling up my aunt. It's like, yo, I got free Gatorade. Where should I send you some? Let's go.
Yo.
We made it.
Shout out to Pepsi. After the Pepsi thing, they were like, do you like any would you like any beverages or whatever? And I was like, is it just soda? Because I was like, I don't want to, like, you know, super gain weight or whatever. Apparently, they have a whole line of products. And I come home after, like, my therapy session or whatever, my little physical therapy, and there's a Pepsi truck in front of my house. And the guy just has, like, an order sheet, like he's delivering to a bodega. I was just like, yo, that this is so wild. Cool. And, like this is said, like, yo, we interviewed Obama, and I'm over here doing, like,
Full circle moment. Now the bodega comes to you. That's great.
Yep.
So you mentioned Obama. We got to talk about Obama. This is December 13th. You guys go to Howard University to sit down with your dream guest. You know, this is the former president, the coolest cat in the game. How surreal is it to be sitting there and have the former president know who you are, compliment your work, bust your balls about the Knicks? I mean, that's crazy.
You know what? That's what it was. It wasn't came in and he put us at ease immediately. Because I feel like, I don't want to speak for Jesus, but like, I tend to overthink things sometimes. And I was just like, I was a little bit nervous. And then I was just like, you know, this is Barack Obama. This is serious. Like, how are you going to approach this? And then it was just like, he came in the room and just like instantly everything was like disarmed. And it was just like, yo, we could just chop it up like regular. Like, we're just regular.
Once you got your potty break.
You know what it was like? The thing that people forget about this show is, like, every interview is pretty much we're interviewing someone more famous than us. So none of the be like, oh, that's a former president. I'm like, yeah, but we've met really big rappers. Like, you know, like, we met Spike Lee. But not to say. So it was just like. It wasn't as big as people was making it at the moment. It was just like, all right, we interviewing Obama. That's cool, whatever. Right. We in Howard University. But then watching the interview afterwards and watching the effect on social media and watching the people be like, yo, you interviewed Obama. Or watching going into the bodega and having a guy behind the counter like, yo, I saw you interview Obama. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, my God. Like, the man is like, can't even get a sentence out. Because this is huge. And it's one of those things that in retrospect, you're like, yo, we interviewed Obama. That was it. And then we killed the interview. So it's just one of those things. Like, it keeps growing on you. Like, every now and then I'll come across it on Showtime or something, on Showtime on the pay-per-view, and I'll watch it. And you just sit there like, yo, we really did that. Wow. That was a big moment in our career. Yeah.
Absolutely. My big milestone and a good conversation. You guys covered a lot of stuff. And, you know, I think that at this point, you know, who's anyone else to say, yeah, I'm not going to do those guys. I'm above doing those guys when Obama did it.
Right?
It's got to open up the gates to everybody, right?
But listen, now the bad part is now people are just like, oh, you had Obama. I'm not big enough to be on your show. You got to give people a pep talk. You're like, no. Listen, you're more consistent.
It's okay. Your album's gonna do really well. Your album's gonna sell a lot. Come on, you're gonna do great.
All right, come on. Yeah. Come on, Denzel Washington. Come on, you got this.
Yeah. Your movies are great. Come on now. Right. Instead of pre-interviews, we do pre-prep talks.
Right.
After Obama.
So another big thing, just chronologically, we get to January. Finally get rid of Trump after we almost have the government overthrown. And I just wonder what you guys made of all that. And also, what do you think would happen if at a certain point Trump decides, you know what, I miss New York. I want to come back to New York.
Well, I will say this. The ending of Trump leaving was very anticlimactic. It's kind of like at the end of the Capitol riots. Remember, there was like the tear gas and they were breaking the glass. And at the end, they just all walked home. Everyone was like, all right, we're done here. And you were just like, okay. And then Trump, everyone was like, oh, Trump's getting a second impeachment. He's leaving White House in handcuffs. And he was like, all right, going to Florida. And everyone's like, ah. And then all the news, everyone's like, yeah, we're not. They're like, you know what? That happened. Let's move past it. And you're just like, what? We just lived through 4 years of just, what? So now you're just like,
it wasn't a 30-second thing. It was 4 years. Four calendar years.
America's acting like Trump's presidency was just like a flashback episode and it was not canon for the timeline. Yes. They're just like, no. One of the characters was sleeping and imagined that. I'm like, no, we lived that.
No. But that really happened for a long time, guys.
Well, I don't get the sense that he should be coming down to Yankee Stadium anytime soon, though, right?
I don't think so either. They were just saying how happy New Yorkers are now all the barricades that used to be around Trump Tower because they were cutting off streets and those are gone.
Yeah.
So without that, you have – and, like, people don't mention him every day, and they already started taking down the word Trump off buildings. So he doesn't really have an identity in New York City, which sounds like a good thing, which means if he shows up on a Jumbotron – whatever stadium he is on is going to rock with booze if he ever comes back in like Yankee Stadium.
Oh, man.
He better stay in Florida.
I can't wait.
Probably Ivanka too, right? I mean, anyway. He got kicked off Twitter.
The persona non grata in NYC.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing with Trump, he got kicked off Twitter. And I wondered if you guys, you know, if you could tap into your empathy, because I know you guys like your Twitter. How much would it suck if you were kicked off Twitter? What would you do?
It would suck for the first 3 days, and then you'd be all right. Because one time when I got arrested and I had to stay the weekend inside Booker's, I kept wanting to tweet. And I forgot I was in prison. I kept reaching for my phone in my pocket. And I was like, oh, I can't tweet what I just saw. And so that happens eventually enough, and you forget all about Twitter. Because I was like, what if I go to jail? I have so many good tweets I want to get off. And in my stupid head on the first day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to rip off a square of toilet paper and write down the tweet. And then when I come out, I'm going to tweet them all. And I was like, that's not going to work. But yeah, I think like regular people can get off Twitter, but his lifeblood, everything he lived for was Twitter. So he is going through it. He's probably in withdrawal right now.
That was his megaphone.
Yeah, that was his megaphone. He's having cold sweats right now. Like, I'm a predicate Twitter felon, dog. Like, I've gotten the booted off of Twitter various times. And it's like, yo, it's like a vacation. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you go to county instead of prison. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I'm going to just cleanse my palate. I don't have to, like, doom scroll for a little bit. And, you know, I can come back and go back to war with the M&M stands. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. It's not a big deal. It's like, so there's like other things. I could go on Instagram and post pictures of my kids and shit like that. So it's okay.
Right. Okay. So when life finally goes back to normal, I mean, first of all, have you guys gotten any sense, like, what's the vaccination situation? How long are you going to have to wait in New York for this?
Well, I'm in Jersey. So I just recently found out that I scientifically am obese. So I can go and get the shot. Because being obese is a comorbidity, and my BMI is like 2 points right there in obese category. So I'm going to get that shot, boy. And then you're going to see the Dominican Republic, and I may never return again.
They just opened a super vaccination center in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. And they're like, the thing is, in New York, the problem is the people who need the vaccine, the only people. They have no access to computers because the libraries are closed. And in the poor neighborhoods, like this neighborhood right here, they have no way to get to the vaccine. So they're like rolling back what you need to do to get it. So, you know, like they're saying like pre-existing conditions. And when you're like, what's a pre-existing condition? They're like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I said pre-existing condition. Get online. So I'm letting all my neighbors and stuff get it. You know, listen, I'm in my apartment. I got nowhere that I got to be. I let them get it first. Yeah. And then when they're just like the rest of you, I'll go and get it. So, you know, no rush over here.
Yeah. Yeah. When life is back to normal or as close to normal as we can get, what are you guys most anxious to do? Is there something both personally and professionally? What's at the top of the list?
Oof. Oh, when life is back to normal, I am going to be one of the most disgusting people ever. I'm going to just be open mouth kissing random people on the street. I'll just eat food like out of the, like, I'm just going to grab food out of other people's hands on the street and eat it. I'm going to lick subway poles. I'm going to be like, we lost a year and we took life for granted. We got to make up for the people. I'm going to drink the water on the subway. Like, it's good. It's good. Listen. Come on, live a little. Live a little.
Yeah.
Yo, to me, like, since like earnestly and like maybe cornily, live music, yo, I miss live music and like, you know, being around other people who also enjoy the artists that you're there to see. You know what I'm saying? Also, like, I'm gonna keep saying this, Bad Bunny dropped 3 fire albums during a pandemic and we did not get to enjoy them in the summertime on the beach scantily clad as we were supposed to have enjoyed them. So we got to run that back. We got to run that back. Next, yeah, also, you know what I'm saying? With symptoms back to normal, we got to run it back.
I want to go over to City Island because I want to eat crab legs and oysters, and I want to eat them the right way. I want to eat them on the shorefront. I don't want them DoorDash to my house because eating crab legs inside an apartment after dusk is very sad. Now you got a microwave. It's not the same.
No, it's not. Especially when they put them in hot and it melts the styrofoam packaging a little bit, and you're just like, this could be cancerous. Oh. There might be carcinogens now in my crab legs.
And I know you guys want to get back to watching sports live, right? I mean, that's a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yo.
Absolutely, because the Knicks are good this year. The Knicks have a chance.
Yes. So. Look, this is like I want to say my life in a nutshell, but it's not, because like my life has turned out pretty well, I think so. But it's like, yo, the Knicks are finally good, and you can't go see them live.
It's true.
Yeah, like, it's awful.
Come on.
True. But you know what? It's getting us through the pandemic. Because remember, one of the most dangerous things you could give Knicks fans is a piece of faith the size of a grain of rice. And listen, baby, we got it. So, world championship, here we come.
Let's go!
Oh, man. That's great. That's great. Well, all right. Let's close with this. There are many important issues out in the world today, but I want to ask you if you have any final thoughts on a couple of them. Woody Allen, Kim Kardashian. Maybe since we have a Texas audience here, maybe you have a word or two about Ted Cruz. Just take it away. Any final thoughts?
Ted Cruz, you bum. I'm not even from Texas, and the way you did the people of Texas is disgusting. How are you going to try to slide off to Cancun during the middle of an emergency, and then you're going to try to throw your daughter under the bus saying it was her? Like, you just, come on, Ted Cruz. You eat rats, allegedly, and you are a terrible person. And you let Todd Trump say your wife was ugly. She should have you on the couch for the rest of your life for that alone. And I'm done.
Rafael Cruz, I'm talking to you. You change your name to Ted to make yourself more palatable to white people. I'm going to call you what your mama named you. Rafael Cruz, you're a bozo. You abandoned your constituents to go frolic in Mexico where they don't even bang with you like that. You're not even from here. You're from Canada. I would like to request to trade Mike Myers straight up for Ted Cruz. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about the love guru. Well, forget about that. Ted Cruz, you're a coward and you're an embarrassment to the United States government.
And Texas, also, shout out to everyone. Shout out to everyone in Texas because you love from New York. Yo, y'all went through it in the last week. I never seen anything like that with the pipes and the oil and everything. Yo, I hope you didn't lose anyone. Yo, our prayers is with you, and I hope you're getting all the supplies and support y'all need to go through it, and our hearts is with you. Yo, stay up.
For real.
And you know what Texas, you know what Texas has that the Bronx has?
What's that? That's right. Throw it up.
You know the vibes. You know the vibes.
Don't mess with BX's. You know what I'm
saying? Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Yo,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Scott Feinberg, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I'm saying? Make Scott some noise. Scott Feinberg in the building, y'all.
Yeah.
Peace. See you guys.